Tensions in the Middle East sparked a decline in Taiwan's capital and foreign exchange markets on Monday. The new Taiwan dollar closed down 0.085 NT at 32.378 NT against the greenback.
The Taiwan Stock Exchange plunged 286 points to close at 20,449, below the 10-day moving average. Institutional investors sold a net 33.853 billion NT. Let's hear from an analyst.
周末期间呢，这个确实伊朗也攻击了这以色列。不过目前来看的话，这样的一个攻击没有持续。
Iran attacked Israel this weekend, but it has yet to continue its assault, so the impact on Asian markets was modest today. Historically, escalations to geopolitical tensions have only a short-lived impact on markets. Over the medium to long run, markets return to the economic fundamentals.
Experts say the impact of the Middle East will be temporary. Tech stocks fell sharply on Monday, with TSMC seeing a flurry of sell orders at the close. The chipmaker closed down 12 NT at 806 NT, losing 311.2 billion NT in market cap. The tumble comes ahead of an eagerly anticipated earnings report, during which TSMC is expected to release positive signals about the smartphone, PC, and artificial intelligence markets. The countdown is on for Inauguration Day on May 20th. Speaking on the guest list, Foreign Minister Joseph Wu said that numerous high-level foreign officials are expected to attend.
Altogether, there will be more than 40 foreign delegations with more than 400 people. Wu said the foreign ministry has even had to recall staff from abroad to ensure enough support for the big day.
President Tsai Ing-wen went to New Taipei's Taishan District on Monday to attend the inauguration of a military police barracks. Joining her were National Security Council Secretary General Wellington Koo and Minister of National Defense Chiu Guozheng. Koo is tipped to take over as defense minister under the Lai administration, but he did not reply to media inquiries about the post. Foreign Minister Joseph Wu is expected to succeed him at the National Security Council.
Any arrangements will be officially announced. My personal attitude is that, as long as I'm at my post, I'll continue to work hard until the very last day. I am still the foreign minister, so I will continue to fulfill my duties and focus on doing my job well at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Wu did not comment further on the future cabinet. With Inauguration Day just a few weeks away, he spoke on the expected delegations from foreign nations, addressing public interest in whether participation will hit new highs.
There is a lot of enthusiasm. There are many high-ranking foreign officials and delegations that are extremely keen on coming. We are a little worried that we won't have enough staff to coordinate everything at the ministry, so we have requested assistance from our foreign missions. There should be more than 40 delegations and more than 400 participants.
Delegations from all over the world are expected to attend the inauguration to show support for Taiwan despite Chinese oppression.
The state banquet for the inauguration of President-elect Lai Ching-te is to be held in Tainan on May 20th, marking the first time that the inaugural banquet of a president is held outside of Taipei. Although there is still more than a month to go, the hotel for the banquet has already made advanced preparations.
It is busy training the servers, hoping to make a good first impression on guests.
This inauguration will be a first. It will be different, really different, so there's a bit of pressure on us. In the main hall, there will be nearly 400 people working. If you include the other venues, there will be roughly 700 to 800 servers in total. Now that Lai Ching-te has been elected, he opted to move the inauguration state banquet to Tainan. This is something we are very happy about.
VIPs and officials at the inaugural banquet will number over 1,000 people. For the sake of security, the city government will prepare shuttle buses, control traffic throughout the entire process, and escort special guests to the banquet venue. In an era of soaring prices, a simple lunchbox can cost more than 100 NT.
Previously, retailer PX Mart and the Agricultural Ministry joined forces to launch low-cost lunchboxes at only 60 NT a pop, and they are proving to be popular.
Convenience store chains 7-Eleven and Family Mart joined the program on April 15th, launching 60 NT lunchboxes of their own.
The humble braised chicken drumstick lunchbox is no longer so affordable. This retailer sells it for 110 NT.
豆干、酸菜、笋丝，然后白饭跟肉，然后这样卖110。
It's not that businesses don't want to make a small profit with quick turnovers. It's that commodity prices are going up with no signs of subsiding. Business operators are complaining if they sell lunch boxes for 60 NT, they won't make any profits at all.
The cost of the meat is about 25 NT, and then the total cost of the vegetables is roughly 10 NT, so it is 35 NT, and then there are paper bowls, rice and the cost of eggs. If we sell them that cheaply, we won't make any profits. 60 New Taiwan dollars is the market price 10 years ago.
Lunch boxes on the low end now cost more than 100 NT. Where did all the cheap meals go? A pork chop bigger than your face, or this lunchbox filled with a fried chicken cutlet cost only 60 NT. These happy meals are the result of cooperation between the Agriculture Ministry and supermarket chain PX Mart. Since they were launched in March last year, 3.78 million have been sold, and sales volumes amount to 224 million NT. And more options are set to launch by the end of April.
It's not bad, you save a lot of money. Because if you eat out, you have to spend quite a bit. For example, a pork chop costs 80 NT or more and can even go up to 120 NT. Everyone is willing to pay for delicious food, but if the delicious food is cheap, people are even more willing to fork out.
The cheap and generous servings for just 60 NT have won over the hearts of many. Convenience store chains 7-Eleven and Family Mart have also teamed up with the Ministry of Agriculture. On April 15th, they launched 60 NT lunchboxes in hopes of winning over customers who watch their wallets.
Lugu Township in Nantou has been seeing more and more fireflies lately, delighting visitors as they flicker among the bamboo thickets at dusk.
To draw more sightseers, the local agricultural organization has organized a special event that entertains participants with activities during the day before drinking tea at night among the light of the fireflies.
Fireflies can be seen across the fields, forests, and paths of this leisure farm in Nantou's Lugu Township, leaving traces of their glowing trails. Firefly season has just begun in the recreational rural area formed by Julin, Jufeng, and Heya villages. The local agricultural association has organized a special event to celebrate, inviting tea masters to serve drinks to guests in the bamboo forest while surrounded by the flickering lights.
When brewing tea over there, fireflies will fly right by you. With this, you don't have to go anywhere to find them. The fireflies will come to you. This can also help promote our area to tourists.
Even before tea time, the day is packed with all kinds of activities, like painting bamboo fireflies and making noodles. For many, it's an experience that's hard to come by.
It means a lot to eat noodles that I made myself. They're so delicious.
Known for growing oolong tea, Lugu has had success in cultivating a clean environment in recent years. The result has been a proliferation of fireflies, providing the opportunity for a fun and educational event for all.
Many people have gotten used to staying at home since the pandemic.But the Tourism Administration is looking to change that with a set of 16 biking paths to lure cyclists back outside.
The paths highlight a diverse range of scenery from the coastline to riversides and beyond. The agency has even created challenge coins shaped like bicycle gears to commemorate each route.
From the seat of a bike, you can explore Sun Moon Lake's spanning vistas and even enjoy some local delicacies.Or you can meander the Yilan coastline on Lanyang Plain. They're all part of 16 bicycle paths being promoted by the Tourism Administration for cyclists to explore Taiwan. The 16 paths fit into six categories. Aside from coastline and riverside, there's also pastoral, which includes areas in the south like the path that loops Jiayi. Foothill paths include the Sun Moon Lake route, while mountain paths include the Maolin Kaohsiung route.Last are the outlying island paths, like the Judao route in Pohu.
Dapeng Bay is considered a riverside path.
The agency has also created challenge coins in the shape of bicycle gears for each route.
那纪念币的话,
challenge coins are highly valued in the world of aviation. We always exchange them as gifts. Of course, there are many that are unique. This time we wanted to promote railway paths and bicycles with these delightful challenge coins.
As many people are used to staying in since the pandemic, tourism officials have been working hard to come up with incentives to get people back outside and in the saddle.
Aftershocks have hampered ongoing search and rescue operations in Hualien, where a deadly magnitude 7.2 earthquake struck on April 3rd. The Central Weather Administration on Sunday urged caution as an approaching weather front will bring rain in the coming days, which will likely hamper rescue operations, particularly due to loose rocks and soil.
Meanwhile, a seismologist has pointed out that the recent earthquakes in Jiayi were not related to the April 3rd earthquake. She cautioned that more earthquakes are expected over the coming week or two.
Buildings shake and lamps sway back and forth. At 10:26 p.m. on Saturday, a magnitude 4.9 earthquake hit Hualien, the most recent tremor to strike the county following the deadly April 3rd earthquake. Meanwhile, on the other side of Taiwan proper, Jiayi has seen frequent earthquakes over the past 2 days. The largest, with a magnitude of 4.9, occurred in Budai Township early Saturday morning.
Most of the earthquakes occurring in this area have been of magnitude 3 to 4, and there will be more earthquakes of magnitude 3 to 4 over the next week or two. As you can see, there's no clear fault zone in this area, so we think this may be a blind fault or some previously unknown area of fragmentation.
However, one expert has pointed out that these quakes occurring in Jiayi are not aftershocks of the April 3rd earthquake.
This group of earthquakes has been distributed across Budai and Yizhu townships in an east-west pattern. If those quakes are connected with the one that occurred recently in Dapu Township, then we may see seismic activity across the northern part of Tainan, so people should remain vigilant. Following this group of small earthquakes, it's likely we will see a slow release of energy, and then things will gradually calm down. There is only about a 5% chance of an earthquake exceeding magnitude 5, so the possibility of that is not very high.
People have been reacting with unease whenever there's any tectonic activity in the wake of the April 3rd earthquake. Ongoing search and rescue operations in Hualien have also been hampered by aftershocks. Now there is concern that an incoming weather front will add to the difficulty of those efforts.
Before Wednesday, rainfall will likely occur mainly in the afternoon. Over the past few days, the soil and rocks have become loose. So over the coming days, there will be a need for caution in the afternoon when it rains.
An approaching front is expected to bring rain to the north and northeast of Taiwan on Thursday, while in southern and central Taiwan, rainfall will only be observed in mountainous areas. The rain will ease up on Friday and Saturday, but moisture will still concentrate in northern and eastern regions.
Despite recent rains, Taiwan's water crisis isn't quite over. Supplies at Shimen Reservoir have just dipped below 25%. Over in Xingzhou, the first and second Baoshan reservoirs are below 30% capacity.
Officials are planning ahead for future droughts by building a pipeline between Shimen Reservoir and Xingzhou. Once completed, the pipe will be a lifeline for Xingzhou's industrial park, allowing it to draw up to 300,000 tons of water a day from Shimen Reservoir.
Hard hat in place, Premier Chen Jianren hears a briefing on a new pipeline project. Upon completion, the pipe will be a lifeline in the dry season, allowing Shimen to provide 300,000 tons of water a day to the second Baoshan Reservoir.
The Shimen Reservoir's catchment area is at least three times greater than that of the first and second Baoshan Reservoirs. The importance of the first and second Baoshan Reservoirs to our high-tech industry is unquestionable. So it's crucial for us to build this pipeline connecting Shimen and Xingzhou.
The pipeline is being built with a budget of 10.3 billion NT. Construction started last December and is slated for completion in 2027. Drought is hitting hard this year, sapping supplies nationwide. Shimen has dropped below 25% capacity, while the first and second Baoshan reservoirs are both below 30%.
Taipei has almost no manufacturing activity, so we have to think about how to direct its surplus water to New Taipei and even farther south to the semiconductor industry, which has a greater demand for water. We have to do better in water management and distribution.
Officials said they're working to optimize water distribution to ensure the most efficient use of resources.
As tensions in the Middle East rise in the wake of the launching of drones and missiles into Israel by Iran, international gold prices have recently soared past $2,400 an ounce.
Foreign investors predict that gold prices may climb even higher in the future. Let's hear from an observer.
China's gold reserves have more than doubled in 10 years. Even though the U.S. seems to have more than 8,000 tons of gold, it gets nervous seeing China continuing to stockpile gold. Now, as the situation between Iran and Israel intensifies, some experts are seeing gold prices reaching $3,000 to $4,000 an ounce.
In the last 2 months, the price of gold has risen by 16 to 18%. Although in the short term, it will go through a correction after the sustained rise, geopolitical tensions have prompted governments to increase their gold reserves. Even Wall Street banks like UBS, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs have predicted that the price of gold will rise in the next 2 to 3 years. It's just a matter of time before it reaches $4,000 an ounce, some experts say. Taiwan's first bluefin tuna of the season has been caught.
It was snagged by a boat registered to Yilan Suao Township, which returned to port on Monday. The fish weighed in at 269 kilograms, including ice, and it's set to be auctioned on Wednesday.
Fishers lower a massive tuna into the hold as they prepare to go back to port. This is the first bluefin tuna caught this year in Taiwan. The fish weighed in at 269 kilograms, but its weight is expected to decrease once ice is factored in.
I didn't think much of it at the time. I just thought we'd caught a fish, but I didn't know it was a bluefin tuna. We only realized after we hauled it on board. We were thrilled, and everyone started hurrying to work. We cut it up together, using what we had, and then we put it in the ice compartment.
The fish was caught by a Suao-registered fishing boat, which reported it Sunday morning. The boat's captain is 32-year-old Li Jiahao, who has now caught Suao's first bluefin for the second consecutive year. The fish weighed more than 180 kilograms and was caught alive, meeting the criteria for the distinction. And not only is it Suao's first tuna, it's also the first caught in Taiwan. After a long wait at the port, Li's mother embraced her son tightly upon his return.
The fishers at Donggang haven't caught one yet. We'll see whether the fish fetches a better price this year. The season officially starts April 1st, so that's when we start counting bluefin catch. The most important thing is that they have to be caught in Suao's operating area, which is around Taiwan and Japan. The third is that the boat has to be registered to Yilan Suao Township. For the fish to be considered, all conditions have to be met.
To qualify as the first, a bluefin must fulfill requirements regarding weight, live capture, time, and boat registration. This fish met all the criteria and is set to go up for auction on Wednesday.
Taiwan has just hosted a qualifier for the Red Bull BC1, the biggest one-on-one breakdancing competition in the world. The winner in the men's category was 17-year-old Jasper, Taiwan's youngest champion ever.
In the women's event, the winner was defending champion Jia Li. Both dancers will represent Taiwan at the world final in Brazil later this year.
After making his way to the final, 17-year-old Jasper shows off his moves to a roaring crowd. He defeated his rival to become the youngest champion in the event's history.
Of course I had a lot of doubts. I kept thinking about whether I'd be able to pull it off. I'd like to thank everyone in my crew and all the teachers who taught me. I'd like to also thank all the competitors here. I was lucky. It was all luck. It's not necessarily that I'm that great.
Jasper started breakdancing in the sixth grade. When he reached junior high, he chose homeschooling in order to focus on dance. His goal is to make it to the Olympics.
My experience is quite special. Ever since junior high, I have wanted to focus my efforts to breakdancing. My family has supported me. They helped arrange for me to be homeschooled so that I could train and dance. Of course, I want to compete in the Olympics. It's the foremost competition in sports.
Over in the B-Girl event, the title went to last year's winner Jia Li, who represented Taiwan at the Hangzhou Asian Games. She is currently ninth on the Olympics reserve list, and she stands ready to compete at any moment.
The important thing is to have the opportunity to compete in Shanghai and Budapest. I'm currently the ninth in line for qualification, so I'm keeping up with training to be able to compete if I get the chance.
Having won in their respective categories, Jasper and Jia Li will be representing Taiwan at the Red Bull BC One World Final in Brazil in December. There, the two will face off against top dancers from all over the world.